Chayshirim Sechta Zvachim Dav Samach Ches. We will begin on Dav Samach Zayin Amid Beis on the bottom line, Kavan Nodra. As we've been learning in the previous year, Rabbi Shua taught us the Halacha of Hamshacha. The Halacha of Hamshacha teaches us that if you had a bird which was an oilless oif, but instead of bringing the oilless oif on the upper half of the Mizbeach as the Halacha requires, you brought it on the bottom half, and you had in mind that it should be a chatos. So Rabbi Shua said that there's a concept of Hamshacha. Hamshacha means that it becomes a chatos oif. The question, based on that concept, the Gemara introduced the Mishnais from Masechta Kinim. The Mishnais from Masechta Kinim discuss quite extensively the case of a woman could be obligated to bring pair of birds in one of two ways. She had a baby, and she has to bring two birds. One is a chatas and one is an oila. And the halacha is that they have to be the two types of birds that can be brought as a carbon, a tayrim of bnei yayna. The halacha is when you bring a pair, the pair has to be identical, two tayrim, two bnei yayna, you can't mix. And the woman that had a baby brings those two birds. But then the halacha continues to tell us, the Mishnayos over there continue discussing cases where a woman, besides wanting to bring the carbon that she was obligated to bring because she had the kabbonis that she's obligated to bring because she had a baby, wants to also bring kabbonis and nedava. So as we know, when you bring a carbon nedava, the carbon can only be an oil or shlomim. You can't bring a chatas, an osham, as a nedava. So this woman wants to bring an addition to the pair that she's obligated to bring. She also wants to bring two birds as a nedava. And the halacha tells us that when she brings two birds as a nedava, they have to, again, have to both be the same, and they both are going to have to be an oila. The Mishnayos that we began discussing in Masechta Kinim teach us that there were a number of types of confusion that could happen in such a situation. We could have a situation where a woman forgot what she obligated herself to bring, what kind of bird did she obligate herself to bring. We could have a situation of confusion where a kohen forgot or got confused in doing what he was supposed to do. That we learned in all these cases, the halacha requires that they're going to have to bring extra birds to make up because what this confusion created. And we will begin today's shir is the last words on Daf Samach Zayin Amud Beis, Kavan Nodra. This woman said that she's going to use one type of bird as the pair of birds that she's bringing as an adova. But she doesn't remember what she had took upon herself. So she brought two pairs to the kohen. One pair was to cover what she's obligated, and one pair was for this ned and the dove that she took upon herself. And they brought from each pair one bird on top, which is the oila, and one bird on bottom, l'shem chatas. But we don't know which was done first. And now there was something wrong, because the bird that was brought on top should not have been brought on top. It should have been brought on bottom. The bird that was brought on bottom, she should have had three birds on top, because oilless are all on top and one on bottom. So to make this up, we need to bring back five birds, lamala, that they should all be brought on, that will be brought all on the top. If this is all, when all of the four birds that she brought were min echad, were the same type of bird. But if the two pairs that she brought were not the same type of bird, one pair were tayrim and one pair were bnei yayna, and again we have this mix-up, she's going to have to bring sheish, tavi sheish, she's going to have to bring six birds. Nasna l'kayin, if she brought these two pairs to the kayin, v'ene das man nasna, if she doesn't remember what she gave, were they all four the same type of bird, or were they not, or they were not. And the kohen went and took these two pairs of birds. Venideya ma also, and he also is not confused. Remember, if he put them all on top, put them all on bottom, half on top, half on bottom, she's going to have to bring tzricha abba preidim lenadra. She's going to have to bring four more birds to cover her nether, and shtayim lechavasa and two more birds to cover what she has to bring. V'chatas achad, and she's going to have to bring, if she's going to have to bring one more chatas, because maybe it wasn't brought properly. Benazai Emer, Benazai says she's going to have to bring shtei chatos. As to conclude all of these cases, says Rabbi Yeshua Zesh Amru, Shukol Echad Kishukai, when an animal's alive, it's one sound. When the animal is dead, it makes seven sounds. We make from its thighs flutes. We make from its skin a drum. We make from its intestines different type of musical instrument. And we make from the horns trumpets. And that's what happened over here as well. The woman made one nether, one pair of birds that she take upon herself. And because of this, she ended up being required to bring many, many more than she'd started with. But the question that the Gemara is posing is that according to Rabbi Yeshua, anything that was supposed to be an oila but was brought as a chatos should be treated like a chatos because of the concept of amshacha. And therefore the Gemara's question is, that here we see that we're not following the concept of amshacha. Yet that Mishnah is stated according to Rabbi Yeshua, who is the author of the statement of Hamshacha, answers the Gemara, Eimed Amar Rabbi Yeshua, when did Rabbi Yeshua apply the concept of Hamshacha, Lefuki B'dei Mila, that accomplishes that Oila Sa'if, as we discussed so extensively in our previous year, that the Oila Sa'if that wasn't brought properly, and it was brought like a Chata Sa'if, will get the Halacha of a Chata Sa'if. Never did Rabbi Yeshua mean to say that it's going to be treated as if you really brought a chatas oif. Eimad Amar Rabbi Yeshua lefukim de mila. What you accomplish is that it won't be subject to mila. That should be treated as a karma chatas. That was never something that he held. Because machlokes rishonim, how to understand what the Gemara. So, because the Gemara's question was that we see that Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, and yet it's not saying Hamshacha. Says the Gemara, Hamshacha can't make it into fulfillment of your obligation. There's a Machloikas Rishonim, how to understand this Mishnah, this Gemara's Teretz. Some Rishonim say that this is all being said Midaraisa. Rabbi Yeshua said Midaraisa that Hamshacha is only valid to solve the problem of Ila. Hamshacha cannot do anything more than that. That's one way of learning that this Gemara. Other Rishonim say that indeed Rabbi Yeshua does follow the concept of Hamshacha even Midaraisa. It's Midrabanan that Rabbanan did not want to rely on Hamshacha to say that because of Hamshacha you should be considered as you completely fulfilled your obligation. The Gemara taught us here that when you're alive you make one sound, and when the animal's dead, it makes many more sounds. Here too, the woman took upon herself a certain limited obligation, but that limited obligation gets expanded quite significantly. I saw that the Sefer Das Yosef explains this Gemara Pidrush. A person, when he's alive, lives and is able to show to be Mekadeshem Shemayim. That's all we're here for, to be Mekadeshem Shemayim. When the person is not here, that he should be the vehicle through which there is Kiddushem Shemayim is much more difficult. Another pshat that I saw is that a person, Bach Habakkuk, the Gemara says, the Habakkuk came and taught us that really everything, the way we live, is reduced to one obligation. The tzaddik b'menasa yichya, that we live with a munah. Kishuchai, when a person lives the way he's supposed to live, all he's supposed to be thinking about is just amuna. And by living with amuna, everything else falls into place. Kshumeis, but when he's not alive anymore, kshumeis if he's not living with emuna, you have to look in all different directions to see Hashem. It's much more complicated. In order to begin understanding the next Mishnah, we need to review a halacha. We know that the way a bird, animal, but for the sake of this shiur, we're going to start speaking about birds. The way a bird is killed to be eaten kosher is you do shechita. Shechita, we think of shechita, what shechita accomplishes is that now I could eat. But shechita also accomplishes that if you kill a bird through shechita, it wouldn't become an avela. And an avela is metama. But the halacha is that a nevela's oif tahor, a nevela of a dead bird, has unique, if it's kosher dead bird, has unique halacha that's metama beis ablia. It's only metama when somebody swallows it. So, and what you accomplish is that it won't be a nevela. Certainly, as we've been learning, when you kill a bird in the beis hamikdash, the way to do it is through malika. Which if you kill the regular bird normally, that if you kill the bird through Malika, it would be Nevela. But in Beis HaMikdash, the Torah told us to do Malika, so that's the way the bird is supposed to be killed. What happens if the Malika was done improperly? So now I have a dead bird that had Malika. What will be the halacha on that bird? Is that bird going to be Nevela or not? So says the Mishnah, if somebody did it, somebody who's not supposed to do Malika, did Malika, the Malikosim Psula, the Malika is a disqualified Malika. However, ain matama beis ablia. It does accomplish as much that that bird will not be matama beis ablia. And the reason is, a concept that we have learned and will continue learning, is that this disqualified Malika does accomplish something. It accomplishes that im olu lo yardu. It accomplishes that if it was put on the Mizbeach, which it shouldn't have, because it was not done properly, somebody who's not kosher to do the Malika did it, but since it accomplishes that much, that Amalu Lo Yardu, that's why it's considered a Malika that accomplished something, and since it's considered a Malika that accomplished something, the bird is not an Nevela, it's Mekam Beis Ablia. And therefore it continues the Mishnah Malk B'smo, the Malika was done with the left hand, or B'Lailo, the Malika was done at night, or Shachet Chulim B'fnim, or the Malika of a bird which is chulin was done in the Azara, or kachim, which of course the malika should be done in the Azara, was done by chutz. All of these examples are emetam beis ablia. If it was done with the left hand by night, the reason is because these are cases of malu lo yardu. If it was done chulin inside, or kachim b'chutz, we will learn in the Gemara why the malika accomplishes at least that much that's not emetam beis ablia. Malik Besakin. So again, as we know, that the halacha is supposed to be, Malika is supposed to be done with the Kayan's fingernail. If the Malika was done with a knife, it's not considered proper Malika. And that bird will be considered a nevela. Malik Chulin Befnim, or somebody did Malika on Chulin in the Azara, or Kachim b'chutz, or did kachim outside the Zara, because that again is not considered a proper malika, or tyrant shloigiyaz manam. As we kept on repeating previously, there are only two types of birds that can be brought for carbon when you have to bring a bird: tyrant v'bnei yainam. And not only that, the Torah says that tyrim can only be mature tyrim, mature doves. And Benyayna could only be ones that are young. Here, you brought different birds, or the wrong, or Tyrim that like Gizmanim, that are not yet mature, or Benyayna Shavizmanim, or you brought Benyayna that are too old, or Yavshav Gapa. If the hand, the wing of the bird that you brought got dried out, Shinismus Eina, Erechman Slon, it became blind. And the halacha of what is considered a mum by a bird is very different than by an animal. But if it's blind, or shenik the ragel, if it's missing a leg, so all of these are birds that cannot have been brought as a carbon. Even if the level of mum by a carbon, by a bird, is different than the level of mum by a animal, but there's a new concept of hachriveh nolah forasecha. This is not something that they would bring in their service, and therefore all of these malikas are not considered a valid malika. And therefore says the Mishnah, Zaklal, the Mishnah summarizes, Kol shepsula b'kodesh, but any time that you have a disqualification b'kodesh, that means Rashi explains that the disqualification happened in the Azorah. Tosfos explains that the disqualification happened after there was a proper hegdish, and malika was done, even though you won't get credit for a carbon. The halacha is einam matama abeis ablia and shloya psula b'kodesh. But if you don't have this, it's matama, and then the halacha is matama abeis ablia. Our Gemara just introduced a case of a bird that hand got dried up, the wing can't be used anymore. And the question is it considered like a mechusa aver? It's missing a limb. That why would be the halacha as far as a carbon? But there's a question that the Pesukim can discuss. Rachman Litzlan, Laylena V'Laylechem, somebody suffered a stroke and or different, that the hand, and the, what will be the status of that hand for tefillin? Ramosha has a discussion, and he says that if there's no longer any blood flow to that hand, and it's not something that could be repaired, that the blood flow could come back, that hand is not considered a hand as far as putting on tefillin. However, Ramosha seems to say that if there's still blood, if there's still blood flow on that hand, even if the hand is unfortunately not usable, the halacha is that the hand is still considered a hand as far as hilchos tefillin are concerned. Amrav begins the Gemara small. If the malika was done with the left hand, or belaila, or the malika was done by night, mintavim beisam lien. But if it was done by somebody who's not a kohen, if it was done by kohen, then the or was done besakin, the halacha is that it is metama bebeis ablia. Says the Mamashna small, why are we lenient by something that was done with the left hand? Because says the Gemara, something done with the left hand is not, for that lack of better words of explaining it, is not the worst thing possible. The reason why it's not the worst thing possible is because there are times that the left hand is used. This lehichsher b'yom kippurim. On Yom Kippurim, we know the halacha is that when the Kohen Gadol did the avoid in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he took the pan which had the coals in them into the right hand, and the kaf that he had the Ketores on with the left hand. So we see at certain times it was done with the left hand. So since it's done sometimes with the left hand, doing an avoider with the left hand, therefore, is not considered terrible, that it should be that the malika should be completely ignored. Similarly, belaila, doing something by night is not considered also in that category. This like shera bevarim pedarim, as we often speak in our shiurim, that the halacha is that the varim pedarim are burnt on the mizbeach all night long, and therefore again, it's something that has a precedent of being acceptable. But ask the Gemara, if that's the way you're going to take this approach, so then Zornami, why are we saying something done by Yisrael is completely unacceptable? Islechsher b'shchita. If the Zor does shchita, we know throughout Adam Masechta, the halacha is that shchita is ksher b'zor. Answers the Gemara, shchita lav avoidehi. The shchita, as far as the halacha is concerned, is not considered an act of an avoida. The reason I saw the Mefarshim explain is because every animal has to have shchita. So shchita is not unique by kachim. In other words, the way I saw the Mefarshim explain, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us direction in this Masechta particularly how to bring kabbonis. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu talks about shchita, when the Torah speaks about shchita on a carbon, that's the way you get to be able to eat meat. So it's not considered an avoida. It's the way that we are able to eat meat. And since and able to do meat. That since we're able to do it that way, it's not considered an act. It's not considered an act. It's not considered an act of avoda. The interesting question that I saw the Paiskim that the Shchutzuki Chemed discusses here: when a kohen did avoda in the Beis Hamikdash, before he did the avoda, he obviously made a bracha. What was the bracha? Baruch Ato Hashem al Kedem Melech Olam Asher Kedushanu B'Kedushasu Shel Aaron V'Tzivanu Al Malika. There was a kohen standing there who also had a bird that he was supposed to be using for a carbon, and he wanted to be yotze d'chi bracha with that kohen, and that's acceptable. We often discuss how somebody can make a bracha and be mitzi somebody else with the bracha. But what happened now was that the first kohen, instead of doing the malika properly with his right hand, did the malika with his left hand. So now the question is that did the second kohen able to rely on a bracha that was used for malika, which wasn't a proper malika? Is that considered a bracha? Is that considered a bracha of atala? He quotes there a very interesting story that there was a person, his name was Reb Chaim Tudis Hirschler, who was in the was unfortunately in the hospital, and after a group of people came to visit him, and they asked him to ask that Rav David Baran, he did something to make him feel wrong to him, and he wants them to say that they're meichel on his behalf. So the question is, what happened? What did he do to Rav David Baran that he needed mechila? So they discovered that what happened was that Rav David Baran once went to shul on Sukkos, and for some reason he forgot to put the aravis. He took his lulav, he made the bracha on tilas lulav, and then he realized that this Rav Hirschler realized that Rav Baran's lulav were missing the aravis, and he told him that. As soon as Rav Baran heard this, he ran home to get his aravis, and he made a bracha again about tilas lulav. And this Rav Hirschler said to Rav Baran that you shouldn't have made on that you shouldn't the aloch under these circumstances is that you make an atilas arova. When Rav Baran heard what he said, he was very, very upset, and he felt bad that he said anything to him, because when he said it to him, it was already after he made the wrong bracha. Why did I say it? The story goes on that Rav Shlomo Zalman said that this Rav Hirschler spent his entire life asking Mechila, Rav Baran wasn't even alive anymore, for what he did many, many years before. So this is a very fundamental question. If somebody makes a bracha, and then the bracha that he makes is not effective for what he made the bracha, will that at least be effective for the other person who's doing it right? What makes the complication here is, because in our Gemara we're learning that doing the Malika B'smol has some ability, does accomplish that's Namatama a base Habliya. And the question is, if somebody makes a bracha on a Shechita, and somebody else is Yoytzu with that bracha, is that, and then the bird, the animal, bird, on which the bracha was made turn out to be a Trefa, how does the Halacha look at that bracha? And it seems that most of the opinion that's considered a good bracha. Because when you shechted the animal, you didn't know the animal's a trefa, so you did a proper shechita. Moreover, as we're learning, the shechita did accomplish that it's not going to be an avela. And therefore, maybe here it's the same. But then he says, of course, it's very, very different. In that case, the person was going to do a proper shechita. He did make a proper shechita. That the fact that the animal was a trefa was something that was out of his control. In our Gemara, the malika was done, in our case, the malika was done improperly. So even though we're learning that the malika accomplishes that it's not matam beis abliya, and accomplishes that im olu la yardu, is it still enough of a bracha that the other person could rely on that bracha. So it says, so he says that the halacha will be that it's a fine bracha, that he could be yotz with the bracha. And he brings a very nice raya. He says there he has two reasons for this psak. The halacha is that by birchas mitzvahs, even if there's a difference between birchas mitzvahs and birchas nenen. By birchas mitzvahs, I can make a bracha on behalf of somebody else, even if that person is not obligated in the bracha. So this may be birchas mitzvahs. So even if I'm not doing it properly, I could still make a bracha on his behalf because it's birchas mitzvahs. That's one point he makes. The other point that he makes is even by birchas nenen. So halacha by birchas nenen is very different. I cannot make a birchas nenen on behalf of someone else unless I'm going to eat as well. So what happens if I have a cup of water in front of me and somebody else has a cup of water in front of him? We both have to make a shahakal. So I make a shahakal on my water, and then the other person is going to rely on my shahakal. But before I actually get to drink my water, it all spills out. So the halacha will be that if I now want to drink another cup of water, if there wasn't any water on the table, for certain, I'm going to have to make a new shahakal. So my shahakal was a birchas hanenen that was not a viable birchas hanenen. Can the person who relied on my birchas, can the other person whose his cup of water did not spill out rely on my birchas hanenen? And the halacha is that he can. So we see from here that even when I'm not being able to be yotzu in my bracha, it could still be effective. It could still be effective for somebody else. Says the Gemara. The Gemara established that shchita zor, that the shchita is not considered an avoida, and therefore, if the shchita was done by a zor, the malika was done by a zor, that the bird will be a nevela. It's metama abeis abliya. Says the Gemara, la v'loy is shchita not considered an avoida. V'am Rav Zeira, shchita is para b'zor psula. Shchita that was done by a zor on the para adam is pasul. Amachi Rav ala, and Rav said, what's the reason? Because the pasuk says, v'nasatam oisai el alazar akai v'ayti es el mechutz l'machna v'shachar oisai l'fanof. And wherever the Torah says para, the Torah uses the word chukah to teach us that it has to be, as we know, the pasuk says, "Ois chuk satayrup." I should see Hashem leimar daber al bnei Yisrael v'yichol lecha para aduma. It has to be specifically done that way, and therefore, by the para aduma, if it was done by Yisrael, it's not good. So we see that it is an avoida. Answer the Gemara, shani para, you can't bring a raya for the para aduma because the para aduma is kachay by the kabayis. We're not speaking about kachim by the kabayis. Here we're speaking about regular kachim. But ask the Gemara, on the contrary, why can't we say a kavachimer? If by kachim by the kabayis, paraduma, which is a lower level of kedusha, was saying that it's considered it's considered an avoida, and therefore can't be done by Yisrael, kachim is bad, which is always considered the higher level kedusha, mebaya. Is there a question? Answers the Gemara, Shani Kachi by the Kabayis. Maybe Kachi by the Kabayis is different. Shani Kachi Mizbeich Mibayi. Answers the Gemara, Amr of Shesh Brei Davidi. Me to have a Maris Nagoyim. The law is that only a Kayan can look at a Nega to determine, which clearly is not an avoid. And Bayi Kahana. So what the Gemara is saying here is, it doesn't really depend on the level of Kedusha. There is certain halachas that require certain requirements. And that's why Maris Nagoyim, which is certainly not avoida, can only be done by a Kayin. And I even saw that there are Rishonim that say that the halacha is that the Maris Nagoyim, when the Kayin looks at the Maris Nagoyim, he has to be wearing the Big Day Kahuna. And therefore, you can't bring a raya from one case to another case. And therefore, even there, it's one thing. Here, it's different. But ask the Gemara of Neilof Mibama, why can't we learn from the Bama that we know by the Bama, Zor could do the Avoida? Says the Gemara, Bama La Yalef. Kabbanis that were brought in the Beis Hamikdash are not comparable to Kabbanis that were brought on the Bama. Ask them of Eloy, but tell you, nine Leoitse. How do we know if somebody goes out, Chutz Lazara, somebody brought the Murim outside the Azara, the Alochis, and then they were put back in and put on the Mizbech, Mawla Yerid? Because we have a concept of Yoitse, Kashma Bama. The whole concept of Bama is that there is no issue of Yoitse, because Bama didn't have any of the rules of the Azara. Says the Gemara, Tana, Zoyz Taras Oil Samachlei. The word Tyrus comes to teach us that everything is put in the Mizbeach. If they put on, even though they shouldn't have, they don't get taken down. And therefore, that's why it's a different halacha altogether. Rav Yochanan says the Gemara indeed holds, Zohar ain't matam beis abliya. If the Zohar did the Malika, it will accomplish that it's not an Avela, it's not matam beis abliya. Only Sakin matam beis abliya. If the bird was slaughtered with a Sakin, then it's metama. Then the halacha, everybody will agree that that's the type of situation that bird cannot be left on the mizbeach. It's not considered an act of malika, a proper act of malika, and it's regular. And that's why it's going to be considered an avela and it's metama beis abliya.